SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome, friends. It's ITL on Sports Grid with Bogman and the Welsh. You heard that in the open, and here we are. Look at that. It's like magic. It's magic of radio, magic of audio. We've got a whole bunch to talk about. Home run derby, all-star game in the books. Second half of the season happening. NBA playoffs. Yeah, totally going down. And by the way, I don't know if you're aware, Bogman, but like there's only maybe two handfuls of Sundays before the NFL season is here. Were you made aware of this? Did you get the note?
I did get the note. There is a weirdness though, because what do you do, Welsh? Do you want to end your fantasy season week 16 like you traditionally have, or do you want to end it week 17 because we now have week 18? So,
you know, have we talked about that? How are the sites handling that? Isn't like Yahoo up with fantasy football? How are they handling the season?
It's got to go
to 16, right?
I think their standard is it goes to 16, right? So, but if you're playing, like, if you just want to make everything normal like it was before, you should have your season end week 17, which is the week before the final week, right? So, because the whole reason is you don't want to play that last week because teams will sit, guys. If week 18 is now that, wouldn't you go to week 17? Or do you want to stick with your tradition and go to week 16? You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm convoluting a little bit. I mean, you would end it, you would play 16 games, not
right.
15 games. That's how I mean
right.
to say it. Like, so
you would end week 17 and week 18 would be that bye week.
Yeah, you would just add another week. But is that how the fantasy sites are already approaching? It's a great question. Like,
yeah.
The uniformity of this, I don't think you can go two games that don't count towards fantasy. I mean, I know there are some people that already like to play that final week, those psychopaths that like to do it when all the backup players are in and stuff. But like, you can't justifiably play fantasy football with 2 weeks not going. So I think the only right thing to do is to play 16 games because there's a 17th game. I keep forgetting about that. The NFL keeps throwing that stuff, but that's the type of stuff we've got on the docket. NBA playoffs, baseball, football, all happening. Game 5 in the NBA is coming up here on Saturday, and it's all tied up with my Phoenix Suns. This is not good. Let's talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs and some gambling stuff. Right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In This League.
You are too easy.
Patreon.com/ITL Army. The audio universe wing of In This League. If you guys want to come check us out, we've got Rank's brand new secret show this week. Very, very nice. We had live streams. We've got the GroupMe rooms where you can hang out with us or all the other. You don't even have to like ever talk to us if you don't want, because we got a bunch of awesome people in our GroupMe rooms. Also can get you in on mock drafts. You could be behind the scenes while we're doing this radio show. There's a million and one different things that you can check out. Not really, but there's a bunch. Patreon.com/ITL Army. Get stuff, support your boys, and have so much fun. Sort of, I've always said that. Have so much fun, Bogman.
So much fun.
That's right. Did not have so much fun on Wednesday night watching the NBA playoffs because of the stupid Milwaukee Bucks. I'm a Suns fan. I will tell you, though, this was maybe, and this is what was so brutal about it, maybe the first real engagement my kid had with sports with me.
Really?
Yeah. And you want to know what's hilarious about it? It is because Chris Paul is all over Nickelodeon or Disney or one of them. That's it, there's like commercials of Chris Paul. He does like stuff. So my kid has known who Chris Paul is. He knows the name and he's like, oh, is that the
does
team
he know
Chris
Cliff Paul?
Paul? He doesn't know Cliff Paul. Wow. And I had the game like, you know, on my phone and he's watching something and I was just like, hey, dude, Chris Paul. And he's like, oh, really? So he wanted to start watching. Then he got into it and then we just started watching and I'm kind of explaining some stuff and he's seeing Devin Booker and he's kind of getting excited about it. And Phoenix had a lead and they had an opportunity to come into Phoenix on Saturday to take home an NBA championship. And they pissed it away. They pissed it away in Milwaukee, which is a tough place to play. And Middleton was rough. But, I mean, you had Booker, who was just unstoppable. But Chris Paul had a horrific game. And it was brutal because, like, it is my kid, by the way. It's totally my kid. The Suns were up by three with, like, 4 minutes left. And Milwaukee had just scored. And the Suns were only up by three. And he's like, it's over. He's like, it's over. The Bucks are going to win. And I'm like, dude, the Suns are up by three. He's like, no, it's over. And I was like, that's me. Like, that's where that is. That must be an.
You don't want to pass that on, man. You got to nip that in the bud real quick.
That was an inherent trait that must just be passed down with genes. It's like, you know, your cholesterol, maybe cancerous stuff. And apparently how you approach your team's win
just,
or loss.
Misery in the playoffs. That is it's an inheritable trait. I had no idea that it was. So.
I had no idea because it was like the Bucks hit a three and they got within three and he's like, oh, it's over. And I'm like,
he wasn't even here to watch you when the Niners lost the Super Bowl. They're up by 10. You're like, yeah, they're gonna lose. And they did.
Yeah. And they did. You know,
I mean the instinct is definitely there already. So yeah. I like to hear that and also at the same time don't like to hear that. But
though
that's gotta be fun though, man. It's gotta be fun to see your kid like reacting and getting emotionally invested in the team and everything, but it's also kind of scary because you're like, look, everything in sports is just going to disappoint you until you go into the dirt. Like that's just the way it is. So
like real life.
Yeah, it's a lot like real life. I specifically remember when the Diamondbacks lost to the Dodgers and I think it was 2014 and I'm walking out of the stadium with my buddy. My buddy is a Suns fan, a Diamondbacks fan. He was too young to appreciate the 01 championship, right? So he really hasn't seen the Diamondbacks win anything. And the Suns have never won anything. And those are his two favorite teams by a wide margin. And there's a kid like pouting, like real mad that the D-backs have been eliminated. And we're walking past him and he just looks at the kid and goes, it doesn't get better. And I was like, Jesus, come on, man. Like the kid is 10, like let him enjoy, you know, he'll forget about this in 10 minutes if you wouldn't have said that to him. So,
yeah,
you know,
but all that aside, it was funny, though, because then after he was just like taking him to bed and he had a stuffed animal and he's like, this is what I would do to the Bucks. And he grabbed a stuffed animal and he just like pile drove it in the bed. And I was just like, you're getting the real sports fan. You're getting like really there. But the Bucks made this a series, you know, that this series is nothing. I would love for it to just move. I would love for it to just move to Phoenix and it just be a thing and not have to worry anymore. But after this past game where Phoenix struggled and Chris Paul struggled and they've had some injuries, Ayton was great, but Chris Middleton was unstoppable. And he kept going, and GA was making free throws. You know,
making free throws, and that SWAT at the end of the game was unbelievable, dude. That was one of the best blocks in NBA history, and that really sparked them because that was kind of like the final straw. Like they had a chance to, I think it was either tie it or go down by one with that shot, and GA just swatted, and then they took it back down and scored. Now that's when I was like, yeah, this is about a wrap. So
do you feel like true momentum has changed in the series? Like say this, but do you think anything, like, how did you feel coming into game four? Did you think this was like, oh, it's all, because I think a lot of people were like, Phoenix is going to close this out. If you didn't feel like that and you felt it was going to be hyper competitive, maybe nothing has really changed for you. The home teams just continue to win. So nothing really has changed for you. Because to me, it feels like the energy has changed a bit in this series, where Phoenix is more on their heels. Their frustration is showing. Booker's fouling out. Ayton was in foul trouble. You know, they're not making their the shots that they were getting, you know, these miracle shots they're getting all the time from guys like Cam Johnson and Chris Paul. They're just missing the shots. The momentum feels like it was a big swing change in four.
Yeah, I understand the thought process, but the whole reason I don't think that is going to come to fruition, and I don't think that the Bucks are going to win here, is because they always say that it's not a series until the home team loses, and we haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen a home team lose. The Suns won both their games in Phoenix. Bucks won both their games in Milwaukee. So game five is going to be all the momentum. You know, and the Suns losing game four is what puts all the pressure on a game five. You lose this game at home, they go back to Milwaukee and they have a chance to close out. They're probably going to do it. So game five is crazy pivotal. But, you know, look, most of the Suns played well, but when Chris Paul lays an egg like he did, you know, what was Chris Paul shooting in that game?
5 for 13, I want to say, was the final total, something like that. Like, he had that crucial, critical turnover at the back.
Right.
End,
yeah.
You know, that last minute
was real bad. Yeah. So, you know, it was an ugly game for Chris Paul, and they still, you know, barely lost. So, a game that he plays that bad and they lose by six, I think if he can turn it on in game five, they're going to win. And they're not getting the free throws. They're not getting to the line like the Bucks are. They had 10 fewer free throws last night than the Bucks did. You know, and the Bucks made 24 of 29. The Suns made 16 of 19, but they didn't get to the stripe 10 times. They still only lost by six. So, you know, I think a couple bounces here or there and that whole game is different. So I don't feel like momentum has completely switched. It feels, you know, this feels like a heavyweight fight and you're like, well, this is probably going to go the distance. I feel like this is going to go to seven games. I feel like the Suns are going to win here game five, you know, lose in Milwaukee in game six, and game seven is going to be everything. And it's going to be a lot of fun, man.
One thing, we'll take a look at some of the overall odds I want to see, but one thing I think I've noticed that was interesting, because don't they usually say, I know in football that there's like a standard home -3. Like if a home team is -3, it's almost like it's a 50-50 shot.
I feel like it's a point and a half.
Okay.
In basketball.
What has been fascinating, at least I want to say game three, I know game three and four, or yeah, I want to say it was at least three and four, if not two and before that, is that the home team has been a 4-point favorite. It was last time, it was like 4.5. And then this game, Phoenix is a 4-point favorite going into Saturday, which I thought was, it's so interesting speaking to the teams and the momentum that home has been built up. That is just every time a 4-point home favorite, and that's what Phoenix is walking into on Saturday. When we come back, we will we'll take a look over on the FanDuel, and we'll see what they've got going on as far as even any little futures you can still place if you want to do that, and looking a little bit more at Game 5. Unfortunately, not a make-or-break game. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right here on ITL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo! all night.
It's ITL on Sports Grid. Bogman and the Welsh on Twitter at Bogman Sports at the Welsh. And you guys can find the merch at InThisLeague.fans. It's our only fan. It's like a merch store. You know, no one's getting, I mean, you can take a shirt off if you want, but we're not taking our shirts off. It's just to buy those shirts to take off at our fan site, InThisLeague.fans. All the different logos, the podcast sign logo, the podcast actual artwork, maybe a little bit of Boggs Jr., prospects, assemble, whatever it is, go check it out. Hoodies, short sleeve, long sleeve, stickers, mugs, blah, blah, blah. Go get some stuff and like put it out into the wild. Go get like a really, really good seat. Get floor seats. I guess there aren't floor seats, but like the basketball, yeah, basketball, we kind of lost some of that love of all the floor seats. Get good seats at a game where cameras will be and wear some ITL swag. And then let us point and everybody will point and send screenshots. It would be hilarious if the first ITL gear we ever saw like on television was Boggs Jr. Wouldn't that just be brutal? That would be so brutally funny.
I like how you said that, brutal. I mean, honestly, it'd probably be me getting arrested in a Boggs Jr. shirt is probably what it would be if we were getting on TV. So let's just hope that doesn't happen. I don't know.
Get arrested?
I don't know. But how is it going to get on TV? So no, I'm never going to do that. That just seems it seems so worthless. What are you going to get for that? The only guy that was smart to do that was the guy who made the bet on himself.
No, he wasn't,
and then he blabbed to everyone and ruined it.
I was literally going to present that to you. I was going to say, what if you were going to get $100,000 to run on the field? And if you just shut your mouth, you might be able to not.
I'd be able to shut my mouth and cash a check, dude. Yeah. There's no way. Like I could easily do that. So there's no way I'd be blabbing about it. I would wait the 7 years for the, statute of limitations to go away. It. Then I would reveal everything. That's fine.
But then you go on a podcast and you'd be like that AJ, whatever her name is, who's like, hey, Suns, and the real Suns head coach. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the team building activity. Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, I thought that was better. It's better than trust falls, I think.
You know what? So they might need a team building activity because the Suns are looking
a little bit
wishy-washy. I mean, the only guy that doesn't struggle from that outside of the fouls is Booker. I mean, Booker was making ridiculous shots. He had the entire team on his back, though. It was like the most old school DeMar DeRozan line you've ever seen. It was like 40 points with one rebound and one assist, or two rebounds and one assist. He just wasn't doing anything else on the court, but he was just making all the shots, trying to make up really for every other spot on it. Jay Crowder was playing good. Ayton's been playing good, but you can tell this team lives and dies by Chris Paul. And that is going to be a bigger determination for the series. So over on FanDuel, confirmation, let me go back to it because I think I opened up all the stuff. We got some player props, which we can take a look at, which I think will be interesting. But Phoenix is coming in a 4-point favorite. The over set at 218. And Boggs, I want to say this last game hit the under. How many have hit? I feel like most of them have hit the under because it was set at like 220 and this was 218.
I actually said this when I was on Fantasy Pros with Joe. You know, these two teams are number one, number two in defensive efficiency this year. So it's not surprising to see a lot of these games go under. Now, the one game that I picked for Joe went over by half a point.
Oh,
so first, I sounded like it's such an idiot on that show, by the way. I was like, yeah, I don't think GA is going to play because I thought it was a lot like Kawhi Leonard, who just had ACL surgery, by the way. And it wasn't that surprising that he had ACL surgery, where they're like, he might play if we get to game six. He might play if we get to game seven. Dude wasn't going to play. Like, we knew he blew out his knee. Give me a break. I kind of thought that's what they were doing with GA, too. There were some rumblings like, oh, maybe he'll play in like game four. And I'm like, if they're saying game four, the dude is not going to play. There's just no way. And then they're like, game one, he's good. And he looked great, too. And he's been amazing. So, I didn't think he was going to play. So I had picked Suns in six. And I had picked Booker to win the MVP and lead in scoring and all that stuff. Booker could still lead in scoring. But, I mean, with GA putting up back-to-back 40-point games and then a 28 last night. I think GA might have that wrapped up. So, you know, it's a weird series, but 218, that sounds...
318
what
and
they
a half.
Score yesterday?
318 and a half. They scored like 209. It was 212 because it was 109-103. So it would have hit this under as well in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, you can tell it's been a long season for everybody, and both these teams are dragging a little ass in this final. So especially when you get down to the major minutes. But I thought it was smart of them to rest Booker. But then that, what do you think of that non-foul? They didn't call the foul on Booker. What I thought was, because I didn't really think the one they called on Booker before was a foul. I thought it was kind of a BS call.
So it was a make good?
I thought it was, but it like you can't make good in the finals.
No.
At the end of the game, that's the most egregious non-call I've ever seen in my life.
It was. I jumped because when the breakaway was going on, I was like, Booker, get away, get away, get away. And they fouled him. And I'm like, you just killed yourself out of the game and they didn't call it. And I was just like looking around. I'm like, we're not calling fouls now. We're not calling fouls. It's crazy.
Everyone was like, and Jeff Van Gundy said it on the broadcast that it was the only reason he didn't call out a foul was because GA had the follow through dunk. Like if he hadn't had that and they hadn't scored on it, that definitely was a foul and Booker was done at that point. But and I know they do makeup calls, but I mean, Mark Jackson even said it, too. He was like, look, you can't. How are you officiating the regular season? You can't change it for the playoffs. That's dumb. That would be like MLB going, all right. Look, we're going to suspend you if you use spider tack and pine tar and all that stuff. We're in the playoffs. I mean, if you need it, go ahead and use it. We're not going to check you then. Like, what? How? Why? Why do the rules change in the playoffs? It's this arbitrary line of where we're going to let them play a little bit more. You know, if that's the way you ref during the season, great. But almost nobody did. So
what do you think on this Phoenix minus four to 18 and a half? I'm going to take Phoenix in the under.
Yeah, I would definitely take Phoenix at home. And it's four. I think four is a good number. Yeah.
Especially, you know, fouling getting towards the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting, you know, the last 2 minutes turns into 15 minutes because it's all fouls. Yeah, I think that's good. The over under confuses me a little more. I think I might go over on it. I think I might go over just because you can see these teams being a little more tired. They get a couple extra rest days, which is nice here, but you can see that it's wearing on them, you know.
Yeah, it's both just sides, there's no, too. It's just not only just so many scores. It's been, you know, it's Middleton, Booker, and then, you know, GA gets in there, Paul gets in there, but, you know, no one else is really Ayton's okay, Cam Johnson's okay. Nobody else is just really stepping up.
Well, I think if Chris Paul gets on his horse, you know.
If he gets on his horse.
Right, you can really see him exploding game five.
Let's play some props real quick. First basket. First basket. I love this one. I absolutely love it. GA plus 430, Ayton plus 500, Holiday plus 550, Booker plus 600, Middleton plus 6, and Paul plus 1000.
Brooke Lopez not on there?
If I keep going, you want to?
I think he made the first basket.
Yeah, plus 1100.
Either last game or the game before that. I think I would take. Give me the plus 1100 and Brooke Lopez.
Give me Chris Paul getting it right away, plus 1000. Absolutely.
Plus 1000.
Love.
Who was the lowest odds? Was it Booker?
GA.
Okay.
Yeah, Booker was plus 600. He actually was pretty decent.
I think any of those are pretty good bets, you know.
Okay. Player points in game five on the Saturday.
Ooh, let me guess. All right. For GA, you have the GA prop.
I have I think it's, who am I looking at? Yeah, it's all the guys.
I'm gonna say 36 for him is what they have it at.
Oh no, 33.5.
33.5. All right, I'll go over on that for sure.
Okay. I like this one. Middleton 25.5. I like the over with under. How he's been playing.
Under. Someone in our basketball group may put up the Chris Middleton cycle, and it's play well, and everyone's talking about how you're crazy underrated. Play like crap, become underrated again. Play like Jordan, play like crap, become underrated again. Like it's the cycle that he does. So I'll go under on Chris Middleton.
All right. Devin Booker, do you want to take a guess at what it is?
37 or 38.
28.5.
No way. Way over.
The easiest. Way over.
What do you get for over? What's
minus 108?
yeah, way
I
over.
I mean, slap it. Yeah. Slap the over.
He was so mad. Now, I will say,
no,
watching
don't
him
back talk.
I'm not. But watching him leave the court gave me a little bit of a diva-ish feel. You know, like he's being a baby.
Just pissed. It was a rough game. The fouls all over the board. He was getting squeezed with fouls, fouling out. Like, this is a big time. PJ Tucker slamming towels all over his face and headbutting. I mean, he was just, you know, like there's energy going on. Don't blame Booker for any of that because he's always so cool, calm, and collected. Chris Paul, 21.5.
Over. He has to. Like, if he doesn't play well again, the Suns are going to lose in six. So
here's one that I really like. Get on it. Move over to rebounds. DeAndre Ayton, over, under. Over. What do you think it is?
Over. Doesn't matter. Over.
12.5. Over.
Over. He'll have that in the first half. Give me
a
break. He had like 18 last night or whatever it was. So that's a bad number.
No, I'm all over that. Chris Paul assists.
Is it seriously 12? He had 17.
12.5. It's 12.5. If I am parlay these, I am Booker on the over points. I am Ayton on the over rebounds 100%. And Chris Paul set at 8.5 on assists.
Look, he had 11 in one game and 9 in one game, Ayton did, but 17, 19, 17. So yeah, setting it at 12 is low.
Give me Chris Paul assists, 8.5, over, under.
Over.
Yeah.
Over.
I'll take that big Phoenix parlay on player prop bets. I think that's kind of fun. And there's a whole bunch more. You want to go check out the FanDuel Sportsbook. You can get in on it for game 5 because it is so much fun. Don't go anywhere. Bogman, Welsh in this league. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
You can take In This League with you anywhere with your device because there's so many podcasts. Really, anytime, anywhere that you're going on, there's probably an In This League podcast to listen to. The baseball, 2 a week. The football, 2 a week. Prospect one, college. We've got IDP. There's so much stuff. Just search ITL or In This League on whatever podcast app you use. You can do Spotify, iHeartRadio, for the most part, Google Podcast, even this show. You might be listening to it on the app, or maybe it's live radio. So just make sure you are subscribed in any places that give you the ability. A nice little comment. Just say something nice. There's something nice about Bogman. Be like, hey, Bogman, you got really nice eyebrows.
Yeah. Is that the one thing they can say? Yeah. You have really cool eyebrows, terrible face, but
you got a good
beard.
Yeah. Great beard.
Yeah. Great unkempt beard. I actually did trim it up a little bit.
Your beard is actually magical to me because, like, it might just be the lighting, but your hair is very dark brown and your beard is like red. So you have two different shades.
Not really the lighting. Yeah, I wish it was. But yeah, it's the beard is more red than the top of the head hair for sure, which I don't understand really, but just the way it works.
Like,
it's also a little more gray.
Like, it's pretty predominantly red on your beard. Oh, you getting a lot of gray in here?
There's a big smattering of gray coming.
Look at
in,
this real so. Quick. Look at this. See if you can see.
Yeah, you're getting the dusting as well. I see it. Yeah. Yeah, you're getting a little bit of the dusting too. I was watching reels the other day and I did like this one. It was when little kids say something really funny and it was this little kid say
the darndest things, you mean?
Yeah. I think I just invented this. This is a new concept, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, it was a little kid talking to his mom, and he says, "Mom, why do you have so much gray hair?" And she goes, well, because every time you do something that upsets me, I get a gray hair. And he goes, what did you do to grandma? And I thought that was really funny.
That's pretty funny. That's actually really, really funny. Yeah. I'm getting the gray hair and you've got, I love that. It's just just red to black and
you would notice it less, like if I was standing next to you, but for you, you'd be just asking me, did I get taller?
Did you get taller? Are you taller?
Yeah. Yeah. Every single time I see you, like,
did you get taller in that chair
for real? Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about that the other day. Apparently, I have a new skill, by the way, in our secret show. We found out that apparently I can just guess everyone in Hollywood's height. So.
Yeah, it's an incredible, incredible skill. Join up with our Patreon, and you can check out our most recent secret show. A nice long one. They usually are. Yeah, we're closing in on 100 that we've done on there. But yeah, we figured out this brand new skill that Bogman has, and it could get tested. And we will get to test if I think you got taller in the very near future, as Bogman will be moving off to Texas soon. But we have to fulfill a bet, right. Olive Garden bet, which we are thinking about live streaming at Olive Garden while we do it and eat. But I have knocked one of those meals off. I owed two meals and our boy Jag owed a third meal, but I won back one of those meals by Pete Alonso destroying baseballs in the Home Run Derby. And one of my favorite things I think that's come out of this is somehow, because I truly think Pete Alonso is one of the best ambassadors to baseball. I'm not going to go Stephen A. Smith
idiot.
I sure think Shohei Ohtani is the face of baseball. Guess who's another face of baseball? Is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Two are the faces of baseball. So not that. But Pete Alonso is a great ambassador to the game in my eyes on many fronts because he really, really loves the game. He speaks his mind when he talked about his conspiracy of the arbitration stuff. He gets excited about the other things. Like I've mentioned this before. I've actually got them. You can see some of them up if you're watching up here. This artist, Alex Party, is doing these cards. It's called the Bright Universe. I'm forgetting what it is. But it's this universe of cards they've been doing for Project 70. And the most recent one they just released was Pete Alonso. And it's this polar bear one. It's this really cool one. I haven't seen a single person who had one of these cards say anything. Pete Alonso puts in his like reels or his story or whatever on Instagram.
Did it look like the Cubs first mascot?
No.
Is that what it looked
well,
like?
You know what? Actually, I'll show you. Alex Party. and he tells these stories. That's what's actually really cool about the cards that he does is he creates this little narrative of these stories. All right, so let me pull it up here so you can see. It actually might look kind of like that, which the other thing we'll say real quick, but you can see that over here.
Wow, it actually does. Kind of
yeah,
like
it does.
One. Yeah.
And the story behind it is like Pete Alonso was just wanting to put this mask on and have fun, and the mask never came off, and it's this polar bear mask and stuff like that. But the whole point of what I'm getting at is none of these guys have ever said anything about these cool artwork that's being done. And he puts Bright Mirrors, that's what it is. Thank you, Jack. The Bright Mirror series. And Pete Alonso put in his story, like, I want this. This is so cool. Like, he wanted that. All I'm getting at is Pete Alonso loves the game.
He's fun.
He's fun. He's into the game. But somehow, him being fun and amazing for the game has created him to start to be a villain. From him dancing while some kid tore their ACL or whatever it was, to him calling himself the best power hitter, somehow has people enraged. And how is he becoming a bad guy?
Yeah, it's, you know, some people, first of all, there's been this weird thing going on. I'm sure it's going on TikTok, too. I just don't have a TikTok, so I don't really care.
I wish you would get one.
I think I might have like a login. We made one on this show a while ago, but I haven't used it since then. So
you should start using it.
I look at reels on Instagram, and there's been this thing now that, you know, it used to just kind of be eye rolling when people would post these, you know. You could just see they're kind of, I don't want to be too insulting, but it's not a talent to lip sync something, right? It's just not a talent. Like, but there's been a lot of girls. Sure? that are, are really super hot that will lip sync something and get 8 million likes. And a lot of people don't like that. They're like, well, it's not a talent. It's like, okay, well, you know,
yeah. Come well, on, it's like comedians not liking Instagram. Dane Cook. Instagram or Instagram stars and or YouTube right. stars and stuff like that. Like everybody hates everything. I get it. Yeah.
Right. So there's been kind of this thing where if you're dancing around or you're making weird TikToks, like underneath all of them now, people are putting, this is so cringy. This is the cringiest thing ever and blah, blah, blah. I think some of that rubbed off onto Pete Alonso dancing around. A lot of people were also pissed. This isn't Pete Alonso's fault, but you know, they didn't talk about Salvador Perez at all when he was up, and he had the second most homers. Well, I guess the third most homers, but he didn't get to go through the extra 1 minute round and the swing off, and he had like 28 homers, but Pete Alonso had 35. So they didn't talk about him at all because they were talking with Pete Alonso while Salvi was hitting. And someone pointed out that Kansas City had the highest share of watching the home run derby of any Major League Baseball city.
Really?
And their representative there was not talked about at all because Pete Alonso was getting talked to in the booth and stuff.
Do you think that also could lead to this other thing that happened where people were complaining their ass off about the presentation of the home run derby as well?
The presentation, I think, is another separate issue. Like the Pete Alonso thing, I'll get to that in a second, but the Pete Alonso thing was, you know, it was him dancing specifically when the girl was being taken away that looked like she had hurt her leg or whatever. And after he won, saying, I believe I'm the best power hitter in the game. People don't like it when guys make proclamations like that. So
it's so funny.
I think it's arguable, but why? Like, the dude just won the home run derby. Why would he not be filled with confidence? He just won back to back home run derbies, by the way.
Guess what? He's back to back. You know what is so infuriating too? Is the same people complain about how Mike Trout, it doesn't have a personality. The same people are like, oh, you're ambassador of the game. His big personality. The same people then complain that you have personality. You can never win with anybody. Like, Pete Alonso's great for the game. I have another breaking piece of news for everybody. ESPN is never going to do stuff right. It's almost becoming lame at this point about the complaining about ESPN. They always do stuff wrong. They're always going to put the focus on, because this is an organization that spends 3 days talking about Tim Tebow as a tight end that no one cares about. Are you shocked that they're not talking about Salvador Perez?
Yeah, man. Well, that was a pretty bad part. But really what people were complaining about the most on Twitter was the angle, because, you know, in past home run derbies, the rule that they made was you got to let the first one land before you hit the second one, or it's not going to count. So the camera angle could show you. They changed that rule so, you know, they could fire in as many as they could. You don't have to wait till it lands. You could hit another one. So the pace was moving so fast that it was hard to track the baseballs going out of the park, and they didn't do it well at all. Like, there were many times where it's like, that's 16, that's 17, and they weren't putting it up on the board. I'm like, okay, well, I guess that one went foul, and they just didn't show us. So,
you know, it's a really good point. They did the high school home run derby before the Futures game, and they did the exact, I should have realized it. And if anyone had paid attention to it, you would have noticed. They did the exact same thing, dude. 3 minute clock. Just, you don't know what's a homer. They would occasionally flash over to a ball going over the wall, but you had no idea. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't piece it together then, but I was like, what's happening here? Like, I'm not even enjoying any of this, because you don't. Part of the excitement that I recall back in the day was watching, and everybody, even the players themselves, watching the balls blast on us going, holy crap. You can't go holy crap when there's two other balls that are flying in the air at the same time. I'm with that, but I mean, that's ESPN. Of course they're gonna screw it up.
Yeah, they should figure out a different way. Like, maybe instead of showing,
do it let someone else do it.
Maybe instead of showing, you know, the hitter, like, from the pitcher cam, maybe just a camera behind home, you know, so you can see the ball go out. Maybe that should be your standard cam next to the other one, instead of like tracking the ball and following it, because you just couldn't see it. You just couldn't tell if they were going out or not on some of them. So it was jumbled. But I mean, look, everyone complaining right now, I want to say something I can't say, but you can't complain. Like, look, when as long as Chris Berman is not on the home run derby, that's all I care about. We can have bad angles. We can have Pete Alonso interviews over Salvador Perez's amazing, showing. We can have bad camera angles. It doesn't matter. As long as Chris Berman isn't there going back. I don't care. Present it any way you want without that idiot, and I'm great.
You know what? Great perspective. We forget about that. That, like,
just appreciate what you have. I think sometimes people forget that.
Yeah, appreciate what you have, because I mean, there was not a point where it was enjoyable with Berman. He made everything awful, and now that we don't have him, we're just finding new. We're getting upset, but we'll say all time. I believe it was record low viewership.
For the All-Star game, the home run derby was actually, I think, better than the last one. But
that's what it was.
The All-Star game was bad. Yeah,
There was a dip as soon as Ohtani got knocked off. Just like I said, remember we were talking about that. Like, if Ohtani gets knocked off, you're gonna see, like, if you were talking about, like, worldwide viewership and stuff is gonna go down. Home run derby, solid. Pete Alonso, big power hitter, but apparently he's a villain. All-Star game, we can literally wrap it up in 10 seconds. Who cares? Who cares?
It's not great. Yeah.
It's not great. We will be back, though, ending out hour one right after this. Friendos, don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Why the is it called
In This League?
Because who could be scared of it?
In This League.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm
In This League.
I've just moved in. My wife has got better cuss veins.
I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, friends. This is the end of hour one. It's ITL on Sports Grid with Bogman and the Welsh. Hour two, we are going to be taking a look at some of the, I think, the second half bets, some MLB bets as we are stepping into the second half of the season. We also did second half best ball live mock draft on the baseball show this past week. You guys should go check that out, which was really, really interesting. And also, I did not get the PlayStation 5. That was the other thing that came out of it. Oh. I live got the warning about a PS5, and we thought we had it. I got it into the cart. It didn't happen. So all the drama of drafting and trying to PS5 it on the latest.
And you're trying to get it for your kid, not even just for you.
No, so. For his birthday. That was the whole plan. I got another warning today that, like, there's a bundle available, but you had to be some professional. You had a pro membership.
Are you here for the game or for
GameStop.
The bundle? Are you here for the game or for the bundle?
And it was like $600. And I was just like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, come on, let's get it normal. We did mention it. Stephen A. Smith is he's a delight. He's a treat. Isn't it ironic? I didn't pay enough attention to it. I mean, he opened his dumb mouth. All those guys, too.
They always say something dumb and ignorant and then apologize for it. Yeah.
This is the bombastic guy. And you know what? There's no repercussion.
Ebbly fantastic.
ESPN loves it. You know why? They say something and then everybody tunes in to watch those guys, and then they can apologize. And then guess what? ESPN, they own the media market. They sweep it under and we're not talking about it anymore. But it's hilarious that he goes on about that, and then the viewership of the home run derby dips when Ohtani is gone. Like,
yeah,
there you go, bud.
That's the best part, dude. It is. Yeah. Talk about how Ohtani is not the face of the game, even though he's in the home run derby. He's a starting pitcher for the AL. And he's hitting for the AL as well. They're like changing the rules so he can play. And if that wasn't proof enough for you, like you just said, all viewership takes a dip after he gets eliminated. Doesn't matter. The dude could be from Mars. He is the face of baseball because he's the best baseball player right now. And baseball is a worldwide sport. It's not just in the U.S. So that was an ignorant, dumbass statement by Stephen A. Smith.
Just all those guys. It's just not, it's nonstop him and Skip and just the whole crew of type of players. It just blah, 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 word vomit, apologize, blah, blah, blah. Don't go anywhere. Hour two coming up. Baseball rest of season and some footy right here on ITL.